So I think the devotees have distributed some papers called Meeting and Separation. We'll read a few things from that. This is a very big subject. If we spoke every day for 3 or 4 hours for 1 week, I don't think we would begin to cover this subject. And we're going to try to do it in about 20 minutes. So it's a very short time. So we won't read all these statements from Srila Prabhupada. But these are very nice meditations for all the devotees to have. We've been speaking about separation. This separation is the highest platform of ecstatic love. And beginning tomorrow, we'd like to begin a little more rasic descriptions of this subject. Tomorrow we'll describe how there's 4 different types of separation and 4 different types of union. One of those types of separation is called prabhas, or when the beloved is separated from you from some distance. There's 2 types of prabhas. There's dura prabhas and sudura prabhas. Separation from some distance and separation from a long distance. So we can begin to learn about separation from Krishna when we begin to feel separation from the spiritual master. And that separation, just like in Krishna Lila, is of 2 kinds, dura prabhas and sudura prabhas. When Krishna goes out to herd the cows every day, the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they all feel separation from him because he's gone to some distance. But it's not such a long distance. That's called dura prabhas. But when Krishna goes to Mathura or to Dwarka, then the Brijbasis are in a dying condition. Those feelings of separation that they were experiencing from Krishna become greatly, greatly enhanced. And that's known as sudura prabhas. So in the same way that these 2 types of separation are there in Krishna Lila, they're also there in our relationship with our spiritual master. For most of you, the devotees from Iran, you don't get to see your spiritual master very often. But you know that Maharaj is there. And you come every year to Govardhan retreat and you get to see him. So there's some feelings of separation. That's Dura Prabhas. But when that very, very terrible day comes, when our spiritual master leaves this world, then it becomes Sudura Prabhas. For the devotee, they don't know anything except for their spiritual master. Their good fortune arises when they meet their spiritual master. Sometimes we hear about the lives of great acharyas like Srinivas. Srinivas Acharya, who was very eagerly, with great excitement and happiness, traveling to Jagannath Puri to have darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His father, Chaitanya Das, had told him, "You must go." So he was very happily on his way, looking forward to seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, the other devotees. And on the way, he saw some people coming in the direction, and they were crying and crying. And Srinivas stopped him and, "What's wrong?" And they told him, between their sobs, they said, "You haven't heard? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. He left this world." Srinivas Acharya fell down to the ground like a tree that's been cut down, thinking he was going to die. And in Bhakti Ratnakar, Narahari Chakravarti has described the very, very terrible feelings of separation that Srinivas Acharya felt. So we can all also experience something like that. I know for myself, I joined ISKCON in Los Angeles. And we go, then the devotees would take us sometimes in the morning to Venice Beach, where Srila Prabhupada used to walk. And we would go to Prabhupada's rooms, and we would hear so many devotees talking about Srila Prabhupada. It was only just a few years before we joined that Prabhupada was doing those things there. So we had some opportunity to feel some separation. So that separation is there in two ways: during the manifest presence of the spiritual master and during the unmanifest separation. Prabhupada wrote one letter to Balabi. We can read this in this handout you have. "The separation which you are feeling on account of my physical absence is a good sign. The more you feel such separation, the more you will be situated in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya felt this separation, and his process of approaching Krishna is a feeling of separation." In 1967, Prabhupada wrote a letter to his disciples. "My dear students, please accept my blessings. I'm always thinking of you and I'm feeling separation." He says, "But never think that I'm absent from you. Physical presence is not essential. Presence by message or hearing is a real touch." Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jadurani in 1968. "Yes, the ecstasy of separation of the spiritual master is even greater ecstasy than meeting with him." In a letter to Brahmananda in 1969, Prabhupada wrote, "Our meeting and separation in the material world is like the flowing tide of the river. During the flowing tide of the river, so many different floating articles meet together, and with the flowing, they again become separated by the movement of the waves. That is a way of material life. But our separation, although it resembles exactly in the material way, is completely different. In the spiritual world, separation is more relishable than meeting. Separation is eternal, and meeting is also eternal. The separation is simply another feature of meeting." So, once Haridas Thakur, he was sick. Govinda reported this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu went there and he said, "Haridas, what's wrong?" At first, Haridas told him, "I'm not able to finish my chanting of my prescribed number of rounds. Mahaprabhu told him, Haridas, you're very old now, and you're Siddha. You're perfect. You don't need to worry about chanting a certain number of rounds. And then Haridas told him, no, my Lord, actually there's something else. I'm feeling very distressed because I feel in my heart that you're going to leave us soon. And I can't tolerate that separation. So, if you could be kind to me, I would like one blessing from you. And Mahaprabhu asked him, what is it? He said, you please let me leave this world before you. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Haridas Thakur, he said, Haridas, you're the only happiness that I have in this world. If you're not present here, how will I continue my life? And Haridas Thakur told him, please, my Lord, please don't cheat me. He said, if one insect leaves this world, is there any loss? Does anyone notice if an insect leaves this world? So what is the loss of my association? But Mahaprabhu was feeling that so intensely. Mahaprabhu, he asked Rai Ramananda on one occasion, Shreya madhye kona shreya jivera hoysa Krishna bhakta sangha bina shreya nahiya. He said, my dear Ramananda Roy, of all the auspicious things, of all the wonderful things, what is the most auspicious and wonderful for the living entity? And Roy Ramananda said, there's only one auspicious thing in this world. And that's association with the devotees of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu asked him, Dukam madhye kona duke hoya guruta Krishna bhakta viraha bina duka nahide ke pa. He says, of all types of distress and suffering that there are in this world, and there's quite a few, what is the greatest distress, the greatest type of suffering in this world? And Ramananda Roy told Mahaprabhu, and he said, other than separation from the devotees of the Lord, I don't know of anything, any unhappiness that's unbearable. But that pain is the most intense, miserable thing. In the face of that type of separation, even those things which we found the greatest happiness in, they become like something which haunts us. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's written in his Vilapkusa Manjali, Sunyaite mahagostam girindro jagarayate vyagratundayate kundam jivatu rahitashyame. He wrote this after Srupa Damodar and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. At that time, Raghunath Das Goswami no longer wanted to live. Already in separation from Radha and Krishna, he'd stopped eating. He was only taking fruits and simple things. But the Bengali poet Radhavallabha Das, a very nice song I wanted to sing for you, but there's no time. He described that when Mahaprabhu left, then he also gave up all other types of solid food. He was only taking milk. Then when Sanatana Goswami left this world, he stopped that. And he was only drinking water. And then when Rupa Goswami left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami stopped everything and was only living by chanting the holy names of Krishna. At that time, he wrote this Vilapkusa Manjali. It said that this was the last writing of Raghunath Das Goswami. And this Vilapkusa Manjali, which was a very favorite book of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He published it and gave classes on it sometimes. This expresses his feelings of separation from the Lord. This is compared to his swan song. It's like at the end of the swan's life, the swan sings a very, very beautiful song and then leaves his body. So Raghunath Das Goswami wrote Vilap Kusum Anjali. And similarly, Rupa Goswami wrote Utkalika Valari, his last book, which is also his swan song, and expressed his feelings of separation. So therein, after losing his association of Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Roy Ramananda, Raghunath Das Goswami wrote this, Sunyaite Mahagoshtam. He said that without Mahaprabhu, without Swarup Damodar, without Rupa and Sanatan, this whole Braj Mandala, which gave me so much happiness, now it seems like a great void, like a great desert. Sunyaite Mahagoshtam. And this wonderful Giriraj, who's the Tilak of Braj, Girindro Jagarayate. Now Giriraj seems like a great python, a great snake. He's coming to devour me. And Radhakund, Vyagatundayate Kundam, in separation from these devotees and from the Lord. Now Radhakund, it seems like the gaping mouth of a tiger. Our revered spiritual master, he spoke about this subject matter on a number of occasions. We made a small book after the disappearance of Sri Guru. And he described in here something about the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. A dear devotee of Krishna, who is an acharya, comes here to give us Krishna. Krishna se tomara, Krishna diti para, tomara sakati achi. O Vaishnav Thakur, Krishna belongs to you because you bound up Krishna in your heart with the rope of love. Only you can give me Krishna. But when such an acharya disappears, such a dear devotee of Krishna, we should cry because that is the most acute pain for us. When the acharya leaves, a dark period comes. The sun sets and the darkness comes. After the disappearance of my revered spiritual master, of dear devotee of Krishna, Gaura, such a dark period has come. Definitely we are in a dark period. We are suffering and crying, groping in the darkness. What auspiciousness is there? So we must cry for that effulgent sun to again arise. Let that patch of dark cloud disappear. We must cry for it. And he described the feelings of a disciple after the disappearance of the guru. He said, we're spending the dark night in a motel. But we should not just sleep and snore. We should cry and cry, anxiously waiting for the rising of the effulgent sun. Let the darkness disappear and the effulgent sun rise so that I can catch up the road to Purushottam Dham. I'm just a traveler spending a dark night in this motel. This illusory material world is like a motel. And Krishna is like the sun. So we must cry for this effulgent sun to rise. Don't forget this. This is such severe grief for us. We have to cry and then pray for the effulgent sun to rise. Otherwise, where is there any auspiciousness for us if we're bereft of devotion, Krishna, in the association of such a dear devotee? So, face of the associated disappearance of the spiritual master, it forces a devotee into another realm of bhajan. Whereas we described yesterday, the beginning of our spiritual life is atmakrandana, crying. And by that crying to Krishna, we get association with Guru. But then, in that wonderful association, those wonderful happy days, suddenly a great calamity comes. And we lose that association of that person that we found more happiness in association with than anyone we've had in our life. Then at that time, Krishna takes us to another platform. And we have the Viraha Utsav, or the Disappearance Festival. It's two things. It's an utsav. It's a great festival for the persons in the spiritual world when such a devotee as our spiritual master returns there. But for the devotees here who are in separation, for them it's viraha. It's a very terrible pain. Srila Prabhupada has described this in his purports to the fourth canto, chapter 28 of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, when the acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. Prabhupada says, the acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord, establishes religious principles. But when he disappears, things again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following instructions of the spiritual master. Now, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is started to save the world from irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. In text 50, he says in his purport, a devoted disciple, the spiritual master, would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. The disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master if he can't execute that order of the guru. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. A few years ago, we had the good fortune of going with Srila Satchinanda Maharaj to Ramuna. And there you'll see the samadhi of Shiva Vasikananda Prabhu. It's actually his Vamsi Samadhi. It's a samadhi of his flute and his shoes, because he entered into the deity of Kirchar Gopinath. And you'll see around that samadhi of Rasikananda Prabhu, there's six or eight small samadhis. Those are of his disciples. A group of whom, when Rasikananda Prabhu left this world, they also died, because they couldn't tolerate separation from their spiritual master. So when the spiritual master leaves this world, two types of pain are there. The intolerable pain of separation from the guru. But just to rub salt into the wound, something else is there, which in some ways is even worse. And that's something Srila Prabhupada refers to in his purport. The rogues and thieves who come after the disappearance of the guru. And it's more painful because, as Pogo says in America, we've met the enemy and he's us. It comes from our own family. There's a nice poem we printed in one of our magazines by the secular poet Robert Burns. And he speaks in there about hypocrisy in religion. A robe of seeming truth and trust hid crafty observation, and secret hung with poisoned crust the dirk of defamation. A mask that like the georgette showed, dye varying on the pigeon, and for a mantle large and broad he wrapped him in religion. Hypocrisy a la mode. Now, for those of you who don't know Shakespearean English, we can give a little purport to this. A robe of seeming truth and trust. The devotees are wearing some cloth, some dhoti, some sari. And that robe is a robe of truth and trust. We have some faith in them. But underneath that robe hid crafty observation. What can I get away with? And secret hung with poison crust. He had some secret. With a poison crust. What is that poison crust? The dirk, the knife of defamation. They're hiding their own faults. And with a poison crust, they're finding fault with everyone else and criticizing them. A mask that, like the Georgette showed. A Georgette is a very brilliant word. Robert Burns is a genius. Georgette is those funny things you see the ladies wearing in Shakespearean England, those fancy things around their neck. A Georgette is also that thing the knights would wear around their neck to keep their heads from being cut off. And a Georgette is something that birds have on their neck, some colors. And they do like this to show off their Georgette when they're trying to get a mate. So a mask that, like the Georgette showed, he's showing I'm such a sadhu, but he's really trying to get a mate. Dye varying on the pigeon, the color is different according to different birds. And for a mantle, large and broad, he wrapped him in religion. He covered himself up in religion. Yes, I'm a religious person. Hypocrisy a la mode. So this thing is there, and this thing is guaranteed to come. So this is also an aspect of separation from Guru. What do we do at such a time? When our spiritual master is gone, and we see that some of his very own students, his own disciples, are now doing wrong things. It causes us so much pain. We see that there are two different ways of dealing with that situation. One is the path of puttana, the path of empiricism. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Putana is a false guru. And Putana tells us, don't depend on Krishna. Depend on your senses. He says those people who try to drive out the false guru, who try to drive out the problems in the society by using their own senses, they unwittingly become Putana's servants. Because they're using the same system that Putana uses to solve the problem. We call such persons self-appointed reformers. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that reform should begin with us. Let me reform myself. Then I may be able to change the world. So that proper disciple who's following the order of the Guru, he understands that now this is a dark period. My Gurudev is gone. Who can I go to who'll solve the problems? There's some quarrel amongst the devotees. Who can we go to who'll judge things and decide who's right and wrong? My Gurudev is not here now. I can take shelter of empiricism. I can take shelter of this idea that yes, I can change everything. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I'll expose all the false gurus and bogus people. And then we become false gurus and bogus people. Because when we search out evil more than we search out good, we become evil ourselves. So in such a time, we have to take firm shelter of two things that our Gurudev gave us. His order and the bhajan that he gave us. Because in the disappearance of Guru, that's all that we have. Just like yesterday we spoke about the abhiman that we have to have coming to Guru. And we said that we have to be naked. We have to give up all of our upadis, just like the gopis. They taught us. Krishna took their clothes. And they came naked before God. That's how we have to approach Guru. I don't have any upadis, I'm not a big person, I have nothing. Then I can take shelter of you. All that I have is you. And now when you're gone, what do I have? I'm not such a devotee that I can hear your voice. I'm such a person that I can see you. All that I have is your instruction to me. Acha jera mata jay se mata sar. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's described that the order of the guru, it's our sar, it's our life, it's our everything. And tanra agya langi chale seita sar. Those people who disobey the order of the guru, who leave that order of the guru, they become asar, they become useless. They become cut off from the branch of their Gurudev. Don't leave your guru. Don't think that our guru is gone. My Guru Maharaj, he spoke in this regard. One devotee asked him, since the discipline of the guru is required to control the mind, how can the disciple get that discipline after the guru leaves? Our Guru Maharaj became angry, chastised, and said, you're a fool. He said, the guru is always with the disciple. The guru's passing away is only apparent. The guru is always there. We should think, I am eternally his disciple, and he's eternally my guru. He's always there. He's always looking out for me. But if we don't follow those instructions of our guru, what will happen? There are different types of disciples. This is another big subject. We were starting to write a book on this. There's a Bahirmukh Shishyas and the Antarmukh Shishyas, external disciples and internal disciples. Of the external disciples, there's the Guru Giri, the Snehasilita, and the Vishai. The Guru Giri is one, after the Guru leaves, he wants to become Guru himself. And he advertises to everyone, don't you know who my Guru is? I'm initiated by Gaura Govinda Maharaj. He was the Acharya after Prabhupada. And don't you know who I am? I'm his disciple. So we, instead of having a loving relationship with our guru, we make him into some cheap plastic ware that we sell in the market to use for our own self-aggrandizement. That's a guru giri. The second type is a snehasilita, who is very happy when Gurudev is present, because Gurudev pats me on the head and he gives me affection and I get lots of attention from him and I have my picture taken with Gurudev. This is very nice, and everybody knows that I'm his disciple and Gurudev gives me so much affection. But then when Guru leaves, what do I do? Who is there now? Such a disciple who's anartha yukta vasta, who has anartha that is in his heart, he can't see that Guru is always present. He doesn't have sevaka darshan. He has bogya darshan. In the language of our Guru Maharaj, he thinks that Guru is there for him to enjoy. And after the disappearance of Guru, he thinks, what do I do? Oh, my Gurudev always told me I should do sadhu sangha. So I'll look for someone else. And without the order of his Guru, without the permission of his Guru, without his Guru's blessing, he goes to someone else. And he gives up the service and instructions of his Gurudev. What can I do? My Gurudev's gone. What does he really mean? What is he really saying? What he's really saying is that my Gurudev's dead. My Gurudev's a material person. It's a very, very nasty thing that he's saying. His Guru's not dead, but he's dead. Manmora. His mind is dead. So we have to take shelter in the instructions and in the bhajan given to us by our guru. And that's our everything. And we have to be nishta to that thing. So I know it's a little late, but I promised someone that I would tell a story. So I'm going to do this. If anyone wants to go early, you can go. How many of you, raise your hand, have been to Nityananda Vat in Braj, near to Radha Damodar temple. Very nice place. This is a story connected with Nityananda Bhatt. There was one Goswami there whose name was Nanda Kishore Goswami. He had a disciple whose name was Bondu. Bondu wasn't really a very high-tech disciple. He didn't have a notebook computer, hand phones. He didn't know so many shlokas or anything. But he had great devotion to his guru. Seeing that Bondu wasn't such a scholarly type, Nanda Kishore Goswami decided to engage Bondu in taking care of the cows. So every day Bondu was taking the ashram cows and he was going to Bandiravan. One day in Bandiravan, he saw some Brijbasis. And the Brijbasis told him, "Oh, you're so fortunate you're coming here to Bandiravan. Because here in Bandiravan, Krishna is personally coming and he's herding the cows every day. And if you're very fortunate, you may get to see him." So Bondu, he became very excited. "Really? I may see Krishna here?" "Yes, yes, Krishna's coming here regularly." So Bondu then, he started going to Bandiravan every day and looking, "Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna?" But he wouldn't see Krishna anywhere. Days and weeks, months, a few years went by. And he was looking every day for Krishna. Bondu was so simple, but he wasn't seeing. Then Bondu began to cry. "Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana, bhakti ye Krishna nama smarana krandana." Our Guru Maharaj used to quote this verse very often from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana. Bhakti yoga is the greatest wealth. Okay. What is bhakti? Bhakti e Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna nama. But smarana, krandana. It means remembering Krishna and crying for him. And such a person who cries, he's really chanting Krishna nama. So Bondu cried. And cried and cried. And one day, feeling so miserable and so sorry in his condition that he couldn't see Krishna, Bondu was just sitting there and sobbing. Some local boys saw him. And they came over. And they said, "Hey Baba, why are you crying? Is everything okay? Are you hurt? Do you need a doctor?" And Bondu told them, "No. I'm crying because I can't see Krishna." And those boys, Brijbasi boys, they told him, "Oh, Baba, we know about that Krishna. We're Brijbasis. We're Rakhals. We're cowherd boys. That Krishna's not good. We've seen so many sadhus come here to Braj, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, and then after some time they become like you. They start crying and crying. You should give up that Krishna. He's no good. You come and play with us." They were nice boys. And Bondu made friends with him. And every day he would spend time with him. One day, as he was leaving the ashram in Nityananda Vat, Nanda Kishore Goswami saw that Bondu had a sack of grain on his head. And Nanda Kishore Goswami asked him, "Bondu, what are you doing with that?" He said, "Oh Guru Maharaj, this is some rice. We're going to have a feast today with my friends in Bandiravan." Nanda Kishore Goswami said, "Friends? You didn't tell me about some friends you have?" "Yes, Guru Maharaj. Some very wonderful Brijbasi boys I go and see every day." "Oh? You didn't tell me about them? And what are they like?" "Oh, Guru Maharaj, they're so wonderful. They're such nice boys. And the leader of all the boys, his name is Kanu. And Guru Devi is so beautiful. His skin is blackish blue. And he has a wonderful yellow dhoti. It looks like a lightning bolt. And a peacock feather on his head. Gurudev, his eyes are so beautiful. And Gurudev, when he plays a flute, I've seen the cows, although they're eating the grass, when he blows his flute, they stop eating. And the grass just falls from their mouth and they become stunned. And I've seen Gurudev one time, when he was blowing on his flute, the Jamuna River stopped. They're such amazing boys." Nanda Kishore Goswami, he listened to it, he said, "Acha?" He said, "Bondu, listen, Today, when you go and see your friends, you tell them that your Guru Maharaj, he'd like to meet them. And that tomorrow they're all invited here to the ashram. And we'll have a big feast here. And Bondhu, he said, yes, Gurudev. So then Bondhu, he went with those boys. And Krishna, and Balaram, Sridham, Subal, the other boys, they were there. And Nandakishore, Bondhu was playing with him that day. And then he remembered the instruction from his Guru Maharaj. And very happily he said, oh, Kanu, he said, tomorrow, a very good day. My Guru Maharaj is inviting all of us to come to the ashram for a feast. So please come. And Krishna, he told him, he said, Bondhu, he said, you go and tell your Guru Maharaj that I'm very sorry, but he can't see me in this lifetime. And Bondhu, he said, Kanu, he said, it's my Guru Maharaj. He's inviting you. You have to come. And Krishna, he said, I'm sorry. I can't come. And Bondhu, his lips started quivering. And he didn't say anything. And suddenly, he spun around and started walking away very strongly. And Krishna, who's sought after by the greatest of yogis and devotees, Krishna started running after him. And he ran after Bondhu and he grabbed hold of his kurta. Hey, what's going on? Where are you going? Bondhu wouldn't even turn around. He said, you're not my friend anymore. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. And Krishna said, no, but he said, no. You won't come to see my Guru Maharaj and I'm not talking to you anymore. And then Krishna said, Bondhu, actually, definitely we can come. What I meant was that tomorrow's Balaram's birthday and he can't come. But your Guru Maharaj is inviting, so definitely we'll go. And then Bondhu, he began crying. So, I'm very sorry. I didn't understand. Please forgive me. So, Krishna may personally come and call us. But there's something more important. When Lord Nisringadev told Prahlad, Prahlad, you're my very dear devotee. I have so much love for you. I want you to come and be with me in my abode. I can't tolerate your separation. Prahlad Maharaj told him, I'm very sorry, but there's something more important. Evam janam nipatitam brabhavahi kupe kama vikama manuya prapatan prasangat kritvatma sat surasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nuvishajeta vabritya sevam. He said, my dear Lord Nisringadev, I'm very sorry, but how can I leave my Gurudev? He said, Narad Muni, he saved me. Soham katam nuvishajeta vabritya sevam. How can I give up his service? Because of his attitude like this, Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahajan. He's teaching us. This is the attitude of the devotee. We don't know Krishna, but I know my Gurudev. And I'm going to chant the mantra that he gave me. I'm going to follow the instructions that he gave me. I don't know if I'm doing right. I don't know if I'm doing wrong. But whatever instructions that he gave me are my life. And such a devotee meets with his spiritual master in service and separation. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol, Vancha Kopatari Vishcha, Kapasindhu Jumuvacha. This is a little bit of a dark subject today. I'm sorry. Tomorrow, actually the whole talks are all dark subjects in some ways. But tomorrow we won't speak about Putin and false gurus and all these very terrible things. Tomorrow we want to begin to speak something about the beloved son of Mother Sachi and his feelings of separation and separation in Radha Krishna Lila. Thank you very much.